Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. God is good. Amen. Once again, we want to say Happy New Year. Are you excited for what God is going to do and what he's already started in 2020? Amen. Isn't that hard to believe? That's just hard to say, like 2020. Like years ago, you remember when like Y2K happened, you know, everybody thought the world was about to end and that Jesus was getting ready to come back. Somebody made a whole lot of money off the church in Y2K. Amen. But God, guess what the good thing is? We need to get ready, whether it's Y2K or 2020 or 2100, whenever it is. Amen. The good thing to know, I'm already seated with him in heavenly places. So that's already settled. I just got to walk and do what he's called me to do right now. Amen. Amen. I found this little video. I thought it was funny as we look into 2020 and just kind of think about what God would have us to do in this next year. How many of you have some things that you want to do differently this year than you did last year? Amen. That's okay. How many of you have written down some New Year's resolutions? Anybody written down some New Year's resolutions? Anybody? You don't have to be afraid to get wonderful. That's okay. That's good. That's good. To written down some New Year's resolutions. I found there's these guys called the Skit Guys, and they had this really great video. And as I think about the new year, there's some things that I wanted to do in the new year. I want to lose weight in the new year. Amen. Praise God, I've already started losing weight. I got on the scale. I was under 200 pounds for the first time, and I don't know how long. Amen. Amen. God is good. I want to give a shout out to Heaven Shepherd, who's my coach. Me and my wife, she's getting us in shape, help us to get in shape. And I got on that scale. I sent her a picture and said, 199. Amen. I love the small victories. Amen. On my way to 185. I just pray my head doesn't look too big at that size. Amen. But, you know, we all write things down that we want to do new in the new year. And I'm gonna be honest, sometimes we fall off and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we keep them, sometimes we don't. But this year, this morning and this over the next 4 weeks, we want to focus on 2020. I love that visual, 2020, because when you think about 2020, 2020 is top vision. That's when you talk about vision and being able to see, you got 2020 vision, you got perfect sight. And so what we want in this year 2020, we want to make sure that we are focused on the right thing. We want to make sure that we're focused on the right thing. Before I start this morning, I think you'll enjoy it. It's a little clip from a little video from the Skit Guys. I just want to play our video as we focus on the right thing for 2020. Amen?
This year, I mean it. I mean it, mean it.
I could not possibly mean it anymore. I got this. Candy bars, gone. Funyuns, gone. Ice cream, candy bars and Funyuns are gone.
This year, I'm going to connect with people IRL. In real life.
Made a list. That means I mean it.
I'm going to take care of myself. Right after I figure out who that is. Other than a mom. Which I love.
I beat myself up. I'm never good enough. That has to change. Why do I do that? I'm such an idiot. See?
This year I'm going to work on being the cool dad, you know? Maybe go to the skate park, hang out with my kids. No biggie. This works, right?
I got to learn to forgive myself. You know, give myself a break. Not be perfect. I've got it. I'm going to step outside of my comfort zone by volunteering at the hospital. Maybe the pet shelter. Because cats... they're so much easier. This year, I'm gonna forgive my mom. Now that I am a mom, I totally get it.
This year, I'm gonna start reading literature. You know, books and such. Because I hear it's good for me.
This year, I'm shaving my back hair. I am tired of those kids at the neighborhood pool calling me Sasquatch.
It's just that I am comfortable staying in my comfort zone.
Who am I kidding? God, I wear myself out trying to outdo everyone. I can one-up everything, and it's exhausting.
I have a lot of baggage, and it is not all from the mall. Well, some of it is. I'm trying, God, I am. But there's a reason why I'd rather stay at home.
I'm weak, God. I know it. You know it.
And you know what, God? this year, I'm giving you all the places that hurt.
I'm going to give you all of my failed attempts that I think are going to make me a better man.
You are a strong fortress, God. You. And I'm going to let you be strong in my weakness.
All right, God. I'm going to start with the best relationship. You and me. And then we'll move outward from there. Because this year, I mean it.
I mean it.
I mean it.
I mean it.
I love that. Does that kind of remind you of yourself sometimes? I don't know about you. A lot of times it reminds me of myself and all the things that that I want to do and want to get done and think about how much things could have been better the year before. And we say, I mean it. But what I love is the young lady at the end that said, this year I want to start with the relationship that matters the most. And that's you and me. And as we talk about what we're going to do in 2020, I think we should put everything on hold, every resolution on hold, and let 2020, our focus, we talk about 2020 having the greatest vision possible, let our focus be on following God closer this year. And I believe if you do that, all the other relationships, all the other things, he helps to pull those in line. Amen? If you could turn in your Bible to the book of Ephesians. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to talk about following God, focusing, having the right focus for the year 2020. Hopefully you got a handout, one of the little bulletins that you can kind of follow along with me as you're turning there. And also the scripture will be up on the screen. If you are a guest here with us this morning, we're thankful that you're here with us. We're going to give you an opportunity later to fill out this connect card, but hopefully there's a connect card in your seat for you to fill out your information so we can connect with you. Also, if you're here and you're not a guest, on that connect card is going to be a place for you to indicate decision that you made today as we uncover what God wants to say to us in his word. Let's look at the scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. It says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he's done for us who are united with Jesus Christ. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. Verse 10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. What we want to do is focus this year. That verse right there is our main focus. We are his masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good works that he planned for us to do long ago. What our focus should be for 2020 and beyond is to do the works that God planned for us to do. Follow God more closely as we go into this year. You know, on January 1st, 2019, there was an article in Inc. magazine, and it was written by a guy by the name of Peter Economy. And what he did, he listed the top 10 New Year's resolutions for that upcoming year. And as he was preparing this article, he found out that researchers say that 60% of us make New Year's resolutions, but only about 8% of us actually keep them. And what he did, he listed this top 10. Let's look at the top 10 New Year's resolution. Number one, to diet and eat healthier, 71%. Most gyms, you also, years ago, I put this video up of the gym on January 1st. And then what the gym looks like on later in July 1st is a whole lot different. It's packed because everybody's trying to get in shape. Number two, New Year's resolution, exercise more. Three, lose weight. Four, save more money and spend less money. Five, learn a new skill or a hobby. Number six, quit smoking. Seven, read more. Eight, find another job. Nine, drink less alcohol. 10, spend more time with family and friends. And as you look at that list, what do you not see on there? Nothing about getting closer to God. They surveyed over 2,000 people, and in the top 10, none of those were spiritual goals. And I'm out of 2,000 people, I know you had to come across somebody who was a follower of Christ. But out of that, getting closer with God, a relationship with God, was not even in the top 10. And I'm here today. All of us have written down New Year's resolutions or said things we want to do in the new year. But I think at the top, we ought to make our goal to walk closer with God. And as you look in your passage today, it'll give you reasons why we ought to walk closer with God. See, when you can have the right focus for the new year when you answer three questions, when you know three things, they're right on your handout. Number one, I got to understand who I was, number one. I got to understand who I was. I'm going to give you the first three of them right at the beginning. First, you got to understand who I was before Christ. Then I got to understand what God did. And then finally, I got to focus on why I'm here. Who I was, what God did, and why I'm here. And as you do that, you can have the right focus for 2020 and beyond. Let's look at who was I? Who I was. When you look at our passage, look at verse 1 of chapter 2. It says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Who I was? Number one, I was spiritually dead and separated from God. When I understand that's who I was, and I recognize what God has done for me, puts all of my future in perspective. Who was I? Spiritually dead. To be spiritually dead, to be dead means separation. There was a separation between us and God. I have up here, y'all see this bottle, and you see, you and God, or me and God, are just like this bottle, oil and water. And this is who I was. This is how I was born. The Bible says I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. I was born in a state separated from God. And the thing about oil and water, the more I shake it up, I could shake it up. I could go to church. I could sing in the choir. I could do good deeds. I could go feed the homeless. And guess what? For a while, guess what? It looks like something, but just let this thing sit. They never come together. You and I are born in a state separated eternally from God. You are spiritually dead. If you want to have the right focus this year, you got to understand that you are spiritually dead. But not only were you spiritually dead, look at it. See, for a while you do the good deeds and all of us look the same, but it all comes out. Sin has separated you from God. That's the state that you and I are in, the way we're born. Understand that. Get a grasp on that, that God loves you and wants you, but you're separated from him. Who I was spiritually dead and separated from God. But not only was I spiritually dead and separated from God, the second part says I was also a slave to sin. Look at verse 2 and 3. It says, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. We had a case of the can't help it. What you were was a slave to sin. What do I mean is a slave? The Bible says you are a slave to the one whom you obey. You couldn't do anything but sin. Romans chapter 6 verse 20 says, when you were slave to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. God, the devil had you as a slave. You are a slave to the world, the flesh, and the devil. You were in bondage. That's why Paul says, who can deliver me from this body of death? You are a slave. And when you're a slave, you don't have any options. who I was. I was spiritually dead and separated from God. Secondly, he says, I was a slave to my own desires. I was a slave to my own desires. This week, I recently had a patient of mine pass away. And it's very painful to when you lose somebody, a patient, lose someone that you just saw. I just said, man, I just saw this individual. I just saw that individual. And that individual had issues in their life and the things that kind of held that person in bondage. And they would get themselves together, but then next thing you know, they would get themselves together, and next thing you know, they were back where they used to be. Why? Because she was a slave to her what? Own desires. That's how you are. That's how I was. A slave to my desires. But now, guess what? He has set us free. He has emancipated us. You were a slave. You were spiritually dead. You were a slave to sin. Number three, not only that, I was subject to God's wrath. I was subject to God's wrath. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. The second part of verse 3 says, by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. You and I are under God. You're born under the wrath of God. It's a terrible thing to come into the hands of the living God. And the reason why his wrath abides on us is because it's just the law. It's not that he's angry with us. It's that he must punish sin. I was spiritually dead in my sin, separated from him by my sin. Not only that, I was a slave to my sin. I couldn't do anything else. And because of that, his wrath was on me. That's a bad place to be in. Separated from God because of my sin, can't help but do anything but sin, and now his wrath is on me because of my sin. That's who I was. So as I focus on 2020 and writing down goals, my first goal should be to walk with God. Why? Because when I think about who I was, that's how it leaves us. I love this passage. You look at Ephesians 2, go all the way to verse 3. But then if you look at verse 4, there's a beautiful three-letter word right there. It says, but God. I was in bad shape. I was a slave. I was spiritually dead. I was the subject to God's wrath. And then verse 4 comes in and says, but God. What you got to understand as we focus on 2020, you must understand what God did. Look at verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2. It says, but God is so rich in mercy and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. But God. I was a slave, but God. I was spiritually dead and separated from God, but God. I was subject to his wrath, but God. What has God done? Number one, God has shown me his mercy. Aren't you glad that God has shown you mercy? I always remember DJ used to always say, give me mercy. When he did something wrong and he gonna get his butt beat. Daddy, give me mercy. What does that mean? We just said, listen, we ended that we were subject to God's wrath. But don't you look at it. He said, verse 3, at the end of verse 3, it said we were subject to his wrath. Then verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy. Meaning the wrath was coming. I was getting ready to get the spanking. But God, in his mercy. What mercy is to withhold from me what I'm supposed to be getting. I was supposed to get the wrath of God, but God showed me his mercy. When you recognize, as you go into 2020, recognize that you're a product and you are a beneficiary of God's mercy, that he has withheld his wrath from you, that he did not give me what I do deserve. Aren't you glad about that today? And he showed me his mercy when he saved me, but I'm so glad that he shows me his mercy every single day. That every day his mercies are new every morning. Every morning I can count on that mercy. I drop the ball that no longer am I subject to the wrath of God. Now I am a friend of God. What, number one, what did he do? What did God do? God has done. He showed me his mercy. Number two, also in the text, he showered me with his love. But God is so rich in mercy, and it says, and he loved us so much. The Bible, listen, say, I love that song that they have by the David Crowder Band. He is jealous for me, love like a hurricane. But see what he does, he says, he loves us, oh, how he loves us. God is jealous for you. He loves you, so he says he loves you so much. He has showered his unconditional love on you. That's what God has done. And his love never runs out. His love is not dependent upon my performance. That's what God has done. He's shown you mercy and he showered you with his love. And the thing about God's love, he'll never stop loving you. Love that story like of the prodigal son. I always talk about the story of the prodigal son. He ran away and did some terrible stuff. Some of us messed up bad in 2019. But I'm here to tell you that the Father still loves you and is ready for you to come back home. No matter what happened in 2019, 18, 17, 11, 1995, 1958. His love never runs out. Oh, that they would understand the height, the depth, the width, the breadth of his love for us. He has shown you his mercy and he showered you with his love. What you got to understand today is that God never stops loving you. Bask in his love for you today, no matter what it is that you've done. Not only does he love you, but also what he says, he says he also saved me by his grace. Look at it. He showed me his mercy. He showered me with his love, saved me by his grace. Verse 5. Even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. If you go down to verse 8, it says God saved you by his grace when you believe, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift of God. What is grace? God's unmerited favor. Grace and mercy go hand in hand. Mercy says, I'm not going to give you what you deserve, but grace says, I'm going to give you what you didn't deserve. Isn't that awesome? See, it's two different. You can have mercy. You know that people show mercy and not have love. When you go to, example, anybody who's, no, you've been, you, anybody been pulled over before? I've been pulled over before and been dead wrong. And the officer said, you know what? Just slow down. He ain't love me. He didn't even know me. He just gave me what? Mercy. Yeah, but you can have mercy and not have love. But God had mercy on you. Why? Because he loves you. And not only did he withheld from you what we deserve, his love also allowed him to give to you what you didn't deserve. God made him who knew no sin to be made sin for you so that you might be made the righteousness of God. He saved you by his grace. Not by works of righteousness that you've done. You can't do enough good for God. Stop trying. This year, as we write down resolutions, and sometimes we feel a sense of failure and defeat because we fell short of what we think God has for us. Stop trying to do enough good to make God happy with you. God is not happy with you because of the good you do. God is happy with me because when he sees me, he sees Jesus. He saved me by his grace. He showed me his love. He showered me with his love. He showed me his mercy. But not only that, look at it. He also seated me with him in heaven. Look at verse 6. It says, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. He has shown me mercy, showered me with his love, saved me by his grace. And now what has he done? He seated me with him in heaven. Do you know that you're already there? You're already seated with him. You don't have to work for something that you already have. I'm already seated with him in heavenly places. You know, when you understand what that means, when you, under, you see, like we always say, we don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. I don't do good to be made right with God. I do good because he has made me right with God. He has seated with, I'm already in heaven. Can you see it? And when you understand that you're already seated with him in heavenly places, it ought to affect the way I walk in the earth. When I recognize he's already gone and prepared a place for me, that I'm already seated with him there, that I ought to prepare myself. I ought to live this life in preparation for the next one. What has God done for you? God, listen, what has God done for a person who was spiritually dead, a slave to sin, and subject to his wrath? What he did, he showed me his mercy, showered me with his love, saved me by his grace, and then seated me with him in heaven. When you get a handle on that, see, the reason why I don't think we really have a handle on that. We've gotten to the place where now it's just more intellectual. These are facts. I just told you guys some things that most of you who are a follower of Christ, you've known since you were in Sunday school. And it has become rote memory. For grace I've been saved. And I've seated with him in heaven. He's gone to prepare a place for me. God loves me. The God so loved the world. And we say it over and over again that we forget the magnitude of what it is. See, because if you're talking about 2020 and focusing on the right thing in 2020, when I really get a handle on what bad shape I was in and how far from God I was, and what a miracle of salvation. What the miracle, the fact that the God of the universe loved me, showed me his mercy, saved me by his grace, and now seated me with him in heavenly places. The next step is understanding why I'm here. See, because that affects your New Year's resolution. It affects my daily walk with God. When I understand, God, you did all of that for me. And then he gets to verse 10. I love verse 10. When you look down at verse 10, in light of all that he has done, he says, now, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. We are his masterpiece, created us anew in Christ. Why am I here? So that I can do the good things he planned for us long ago. I'm here not to have a good marriage. I'm not here to have good finances, to be a good doctor. I'm not here to be a good accountant, Brother Marvin. I'm not here to be a good teacher, Sister Rochelle. I'm not here for that. I'm not here to be a good husband, good father. All of that is a byproduct of me understanding. Now he has saved me, so everything I do is to give him glory. Why am I here? I'm here to shine my light. The book of Matthew chapter 5 said, let your light shine before the world that people see your good deeds and bring glory to the Father. He said, we are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. The fact if you're here and you name the name of Christ, that is a masterpiece. You are a masterpiece. Nobody else could have created that. Nobody else could have saved you. Nobody else could work the salvation that he's done. And he said, now I've done that so that why you can live for my praise. You are my masterpiece. I created you anew in Christ, so now you could do the good works that I planned for you to do. But you know what? We get it backwards. We try to do the good works to show who we are. God said, no, you do the good works because of who I made you. When you recognize what I've done for you, it's a byproduct. That's why I'm telling you, following Christ, the message of the gospel is so compelling and is better and more compelling than anything else out there. You know, I sit and have debates with people of all different kind of faiths, and everybody is trying to make themselves right with God. Everybody's trying to follow the law in some kind of way. And God's law has merit. God wrote that law. It makes sense. But he's saying, listen, the reason why it's here to let you understand you can't keep my word. You can't keep it in and of yourself. But the reason what I do is that when I understand that he saved me, even though I can't keep it. Even though I fall short of the glory, he saved me anyway. Now it makes me want to walk close. I want to get to and find out, God, what is it I'm supposed to do? In light of all that you've done for me. That's why I wrote in the book of Romans, says, in light of all this, it is our reasonable service. He says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices. He gets that to that in Romans 12 in light of telling you that Paul already told you that we were in bondage. Paul already told you that by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And he already told you that when I want to do good, evil is present with me and I can't get out of it. And then he says, who can deliver me from this body of death? And he says in Romans chapter 8, that thanks be to God that the law of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. And he goes down and tells you that what can separate you from God's love? Neither death nor life, nothing can separate you from God's love in Romans chapter 8. And then in Romans 10, he says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's why when he gets to Romans 12, he says, I tell you, brothers, it's their reasonable service. After all God has done for us and saving us, it only makes sense for me to shine my light. The only reason I'm here, so my prayer for you in 2020, don't write down a whole lot of New Year's resolutions. One thing, one goal. That's what Paul in Philippians chapter 3, he says, listen, forgetting behind and reaching forward to what's in front of me, I press toward the mark. He said, this one thing I do, focus on one thing, follow Jesus. Focus on one thing. Live your life to shine your light so that people are drawn to him. And when you do that, guess what? Your finances get better. When you live your life and say, listen, I'm his masterpiece. He created me in Christ Jesus to do the good works. And where do I find what the good works are? In the good book. And as I get in the good book and I find out how he tells me, I find his word says, ooh, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That means I ought to eat right. Hello. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That means I ought to behave pure sexually. Hello. The Bible says, listen, that every good and perfect gift comes from God. So that ought to affect how I treat my resources, how I deal with my money. The Bible says, listen, that we are everything that I need for life and godliness is in him. And he is the word. So if I want to, and all those New Year's resolutions that we saw, they all come under living according to those good works that he ordained for us long ago. When I follow what God has told me to do and try to make my goal, my New Year's resolutions, God, I want to get closer to you. The closer I get to you, the more he makes me see. The more he makes me see, he gives me vision. He shows me what I'm supposed to do. The closer I get to God, then he shows me how to walk right. And as I walk right, all the areas of my life fall into order. Why do y'all think we have written as our vision that we want people to encounter God's presence? Then they discover their purpose and experience his power. That should be our New Year's resolution. To have the right focus for 2020. I want y'all to say focus. 2020 focus. What do we need to do? 2020 focus. I want you to write this down. Turn that paper over and write it down. If you got a pen, I want you to write these down. This Lord gave me this early this morning. For 2020, what you got to do? Focus. F, feast on God's word. Feast on God's word. Everything else falls in line. The first thing that you got to do is feast on his word. How can a young man keep his way clean and pure? By taking heed to your word. Feast on God's word. Oh, offer prayer and praise. for 2020, make it our focus. The feast on God's word, offer prayer and praise. Spend time in prayer and praising God. Lifting him up. God, listen, that's what we say. He inhabits the praise of his people. Offer prayer. Prayer, why is prayer so important? It expresses your and my dependence on God. We talked about that last week. We talked about planning for the future, but before we plan, we got to pray. Offer God prayer and praise. See, you need to connect in community. What I mean, you need to be in fellowship. You need to be in fellowship. You need to be in the house of the Lord. We're in 2020 right now. People go to church at home, online. Amen. And that's okay because we have the technology. We have to take advantage. And I'm not begrudging any of that. I think that is a great tool. That's why we're live streaming. Shout out to all of those of you who are watching us on the live stream. That's important. But do you know now, because of the way it is, that the churches actually have campus pastors. They have an online pastor for their online community. Because there are some people that now the only way they're going to come to church is online. And that's okay. God wants us to use that resource as a way to reach people. But the goal is should you not to be to stay online. See, we want to reach you online and connect with you online. That's why they have an online pastor. But the goal is to move you from out of your bedroom into the house of the Lord to be in community. In 2020, you need to connect in community. You need why is community so important? We had a training yesterday here about small groups and why small groups are so important. Why? Because it fosters community, and also you need accountability. I need somebody checking on me. Amen. I need somebody checking on me because I'm not always going to do right. And so I need a brother to ask me how I'm treating my wife, how I'm doing with my money, how am I living, am I upholding a moral standard? I need somebody checking on me, and guess what? If I need it, you need it too. We got to live in community. That's what God wants you to do. You grow in community. If you look at the church in Acts chapter 2, they lived in community. They had everything in common. Needs are met in community. So you got to feast on God's word. You got to offer prayer and praise. You got to connect in community. But then in 2020, we want to be unselfish givers and also unselfish in our service. God did not save me to sit. 2020, I ought to focus. God, how can I step out of my comfort zone, stop thinking about myself, and serve somebody else in the body of Christ and outside of the body of Christ? And also be unselfish in our giving. How I use my material resources is a reflection on my heart. The Bible says where my treasure is, that's where my heart will be. That's just the facts of the matter. That's a convicting thing. We talked about it a month ago. Best way you can tell about a person is look at their checkbook or look at their bank ledger, look at their bank statement. Where do you spend your money? Focus. We want to be unselfish in our giving. We want to be unselfish in our serving. And then finally, guess what? We want to share the good news. Share the good news. What better focus is there for 2020? And when you do that, when you feast on God's word and spend time in his word and on your knees in prayer, guess what? He will convict you about other areas of your life that you need to get together. He will. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. That's why the verse we said last week in Proverbs chapter 16, commit your ways to the Lord. And guess what? He will establish your New Year's resolutions. Commit your ways to the Lord. Committing your ways to the Lord is meaning walking in the good works that he planned for you to do long ago. When you do that, that's the focus for you this year. That should be the focus for us as a church this year. You know, a lot of times what we've gotten into in the church and what we do as individually, that's why New Year's resolutions are dangerous sometimes, because all we can get into is a lot of self-help. It's a lot of self-help and personal development. You know, a lot of sermons on Sunday are self-help and personal development. The more you listen, and it's a good word. It's a good word. But at the end of it, it's empty if you don't get to the fact. The reason why I want to do these things is, number one, I got to go back to the beginning. I got to understand who I was. And I can't tell you how many times online I watch video and look at a video, and it's a great word and it was very encouraging. But guess what? At the end of the day, we got to get to the core of this deal. Yeah, we want to have better marriages, and we're gonna talk about relationships. But the bottom line is, the reason why your marriage is jacked up is because you're a slave to sin. So you can't have a good marriage until you recognize that you separated from God. The reason why your marriage is messed up is because you're spiritually dead and you're a slave to sin and you're subject to God's wrath. And something got to come in and fix that situation. And we got to start with the gospel. Y'all, it ain't rocket science. The bottom line is that we were far from God and he has drawn us near, and now we want to live for him. That's the 2020 focus. And when you do that, how many of you believe and know that God will bring your whole life into order? Amen? What we want to do for 2020, for this year coming up, we're getting ready to have a leadership retreat next week. And there's a lot of stuff that we want to do. But God has just really put on my heart for us to get back to the basics. Back to the basics. And what do you mean? And some people, you know, a lot of all this stuff is not new material. It's not new. But what it does, if it's not new and it's not affecting my life, then it's a problem. It's just more didactic information. But what God wants us to do is wants us to become reacquainted with what he has done for us in our lives. And my goal and my prayer is that everyone in here begin to feast on God's word and understand what he wants for them so much and begin to walk in it, that lives begin to be transformed. One of the things we're getting ready to do to launch that here, we're getting ready to launch a series of classes, and we call it the gym classes. Gym means get you moving. Get you moving, because we want all of us to get moving on our walk with God. Some of us have gotten stagnant in our walk with God. Amen? You don't have to raise your hand. I've been there. That you've been saved a long time, but God needs a jump starter sometime. So what we're going to do, what we're starting is a series of classes to help get you moving in your walk with God. Because our goal, what we want people, y'all have heard us say it, we want people to come to know God and then to grow in his word. And starting on Sunday afternoons, after service, on Sunday afternoons, starting on the weekend of January 19th, that's the King Holiday weekend, the Sunday, January 19th, will be our first class in our gym classes. And it'll be immediately following service. We're going to have refreshments. And I invite you to come and connect, because the class is going to be, we call it Grow. How to grow in your walk with God. Because that's what we want. Our goal is for everybody to come to know God, grow, and then send out and win other people. So Brother Damon Prather is going to be teaching a class, and it's only going to be for like 1 hour after service. It'll be what 4 weeks, Brother Damon? For 4 weeks after service on Sundays. You can meet in the back classroom. We'll let you know which classroom it is. And that's our Grow class, to help get you moving in your walk with God so you can grow and start this new year off walking in the good works that he has planned for you. That you can begin to walk in the purpose God has designed and planned for you. That class is going to go for 4 weeks here at church. Just 1 hour. We'll give you lunch afterwards because you're going to stay. I encourage you. That is what we want for this year. As a pastor here, my goal for us is this year is to get more people plugged in community and growing and moving in their walk with God. So we ask, and I encourage you to sign up for that class. We'll have a sign up out front this after service for you to sign up for the Grow class. It's going to meet every Sunday starting on January 19th for 4 weeks after service. After that, we'll have a little break, and there's going to be another class to help you not only just grow, but also help you to show God's love. It's going to be a class to help you exercise and show what your gift is, how God has shaped and wired you to service in ministry. We want you to be launched in ministry. This year should be the year, again, that you're walking in the things God has designed for you. That class will be coming up. We'll let you know when that is coming. But I encourage you to sign up early, get so we can know who's going to come in, so we can begin to have an army of believers who understand who God is, who are growing in their walk with him, and now reaching to show his love to a lost and dying world. Amen? Can we all stand together? Can we all stand? Focus for 2020. Feast on God's word. Offer him prayer and praise. Connect in community. Be unselfish in your service and giving. And go out and share the good news. And when you can do that when you remember what God has done, when you remember the fact that you were a sinner separated from God, a slave to your sin, subject to his wrath, but God showed you his mercy, showered you with his love, saved you by his grace, is now seated you with him in heaven. And all he's asking for you to do is now go shine your light. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First thing I said, if you want to have the right focus for 2020, you got to understand who you were or who you are. Fact of the matter is, all of us are born sinners separated from God. All of us are subject to his wrath. All of us are slaves to sin. And if you're here today and you've never come to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? You're still in that state, but he wants to set you free. He loves you. He wants to show you his mercy and give you his unmerited favor, his grace, so that he can seat you with him in heaven. And in order for him to do that, first you got to admit the fact that you are a sinner separated from God. You must believe that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you, that he was buried and that he rose again. You must make the choice to invite him into your life, forgive you of all your sins, and make you who he wants you to be. If you'd like to make that choice today so that you can be certain that you are seated with him in heaven, so that you can be certain that all of your sins are forgiven, I want you to just pray this simple prayer after me silently. Just says, "Dear God, thank you for loving me. Today, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe that you sent your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me, that he was buried and rose again. And today, I choose to invite you to come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins and make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name." If that prayer expressed the desire of your heart while every head is bowed and every eye closed, if that prayer expressed the desire of your heart, would you just slip up your hand really quick so we can welcome you into the family of God and pray with you? Is there one? He said, "Pastor Dwayne, I prayed that prayer after you. That was me." Why don't you slip up your hand right where you are? We can pray on you, love on you, welcoming you into the family. Is there one? For your glory, I will do. Just to see you. Is there one? To be all for your glory, I will do anything just to see. Song just says, "For your glory, I will do anything." The first thing that God wants us to do, for those of us who are followers of his, those of us who have accepted Christ, he wants us to make a commitment for 2020 to following him closer. And if you're here today on this first Sunday of 2020 and you say, "Pastor Dwayne, I want to recommit my life to following closer with Jesus this year. I want to begin to feast on his word and be more consistent in my time of prayer and praise. be connected in community, serve, and share the good news. I just want to be more focused in walking with him this year. If that's your prayer for 2020, would you slip up your hand? Let us pray with you and for you. Amen. I see those hands. God, help me to be more focused on following you closer in 2020. Anybody else want that to be your focus this year? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If that's you, and you raise your hand, you say, God, for 2020, it's not about money, it's not about my health, it's about being more consistent in my walk with you. You want that prayer. You want someone to pray with you. You want to touch and agree with someone. Could you come forward right now? Let us pray together. Because my hand is raised. I want to be more focused in walking closer with Jesus for 2020 and beyond. Amen. Amen.